Thank you. My name is Gina, and I'm an alcoholic. This is an open meeting of the Atlanta Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. It is our belief that our meeting structure is necessary to maintain the integrity of the group so that it may better carry the message of AA. And since the most important aspect of AA recovery is one alcoholic relating to another, only alcoholics participate. If your primary problem is other than alcoholism, we think it would also be helpful for you to contact an anonymous organization which more specifically deals with your addiction. Our literature persons, Phil and Dino, have the list of such groups with their phone numbers. In any case, we hope that what you learn here may be helpful to your recovery and our understanding. Dawn will read the preamble.
Hi, I'm Dawn. I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Please join in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Ruthie will read the steps.
Hi, I'm Ruthie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ruthie.
Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Joe will read the traditions.
Thank you. I'm Joe, and I'm an alcoholic. And these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for AA membership is the desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, AA as such ought never be organized. but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Tonight is anniversary night. The format of the meeting will be the 10-minute speaker will speak on the second tradition, followed by our information break. The main speaker who will speak for 25 minutes, followed by our anniversary celebrants. Our 10-minute speaker is Amanda.
Thanks. Hi, I'm Amanda. I'm an alcoholic. Okay, tradition 2. This is the long form. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. I want to thank Heidi for asking me to speak. It's pretty cool. So, the simplest, most easiest explanation for the group conscience is we take a vote, you know. But as with all AA principles, there's a whole lot more to it. Speaking to the microphone. Lower. I'm a lot shorter than you think. So we take a vote. You know, if you've been around, you know, in November we voted in Heidi as our new overall chair, and I think she had to get 51% of the vote, 51 plus. You know, same thing with Parrots and I co-chair the Thursday night meeting. We got voted in. You guys came, you voted, and that's that. But the group conscience is what it is. It's a collective conscience of the membership. And what I didn't know what a con—I knew what a conscience meant, but I looked it up anyway. And what it is, it's the sense of a moral goodness of one's own conduct, intentions, or character, together with a feeling of obligation to do the right thing. So as a group, it's a sense of the moral goodness of the group's own conduct, intentions, or character, together with a feeling of obligation to do right or do good. And how it is described is the group conscience is the voice of the group's higher power expressing himself. And I'll explain a little bit of the 12 and 12. I have no experience being an old-timer. I'm sober July 30, 2000. I have 8.5 years. And in the 12 and 12, it discusses bleeding deacons and elder statements. And the bleeding deacon is... I could be a bleeding deacon, actually, who is convinced the group cannot get along without him and who is consumed with self-pity. Totally. And I love this line. It says that nearly every old-timer in our society has gone through this process to some degree. And then there's the elder statesman, the true voice of AA. They are the ones who see the wisdom of the group's decision, who holds no resentment over his reduced status, whose judgment, fortified by considerable experience, is sound, and who is willing to sit quietly on the sidelines, patiently awaiting development. They are the real and permanent leadership in AA. They do not drive by mandate, they lead by example. And another quote that I found was, they act for us, but they don't boss us around. And how this come about, there's a story in the 12 and 12, but Bill was offered a job at Towns Hospital to be a lay therapist. He was going to get a nice office and a cut of the profits. And he said, let me think about it, but he was pretty sure he was going for the job. And when he was thinking about it on the train ride home, he was thinking about him and Lois being financially hard up. You know, Lois, you know, killing herself at the department store, coming home, cooking dinners for a bunch of drunks who weren't paying. And then I love he describes it as a flash of divine guidance. You know, he hears a voice, and this voice is saying a line pulled out of the Bible, the laborer is worthy of his hire. And to him, it was like, that's my answer. I'm taking this job. And he goes home and he shares it with a meeting, a group of guys in his basement. It was meeting night, and he shares it. And the guys are like, absolutely not. You can't do this. You know, and their reasons was, like, you can't get paid for sharing our message that we're giving for free. You can't professionalize this. and you can't tie this thing to any hospital or anything like that. And so, no. And the great thing I love about this experience is that Bill, it ends with him saying, I listened and I obeyed, and thank God I did. You know what I mean? And I love that statement because I listened and I obeyed. You know what I mean? And to me, that's an example of a leader. And out of that, one of the many lessons out of that experience is what we learned is that our group conscience, well advised by our elders, will be in the long run wiser than any single leader. You know, because as a human, I am driven by ill motives all the time. That's why I have a sponsor and I come here all the time. I'm fallible. You know, I'm prejudiced with interests and power and prestige. Like, this is in me. And I work on a daily basis to get this out of me. But now about the leadership. We talked about the elder statements. And then, there's elder statements, and then there's the people that do service for the group. And even these people, they act for us, but they don't boss us. And people who take service commitments, they act in the common welfare and the best interests of the group. Not ranting and raving and looking for change and stuff like that. And I found this article in the Grapevine, and I forgot what it's called, so ask me later. And I'll read from it. It just says, a leader in AA service is a man or a woman who can personally put principles, plans, and policies into such dedicated and effective action that the rest of us want to back him up and help him with his job. When a leader power drives us badly, we rebel, but when he too meekly becomes an order taker, he exercises no judgment of his own, he really isn't a leader at all. So there's like a balance. And what I think about, like, I've chaired a couple meetings, I've participated in a couple of business meetings, and what happens is, like, we need to make decisions on the spot. You know, decisions about where to put the literature to, do we cut this guy off who's sharing inappropriately and not on the topic? And this article suggests that using careful discrimination and soul-searching is the true leadership must always try to exercise when making these spot decisions type thing. So good leadership originates planned policies and ideas for the improvement of our fellowship and its services, but in new and important matters, it will nevertheless consult widely before taking decisions and actions. You know, and I keep thinking about my experience doing the Thursday night with Parrots. You know, we're there. We're not governing the meeting, you know, as much as how that sounds fun, but we're not. And, you know, we lead the meeting. We don't judge anyone's conduct. We don't issue any orders. If someone doesn't show up for a service commitment, we just fill it so the meeting can run. Like, my job and my responsibility is to make sure that meeting is running, that it's welcoming to the newcomer, and that their newcomer is taken care of, and that's the end of it. I'm to follow the script, I follow the format, and even with the format, I was talking with Heidi yesterday, she gave me a great idea. Our format and our script wasn't like someone just didn't write that overnight and said, here, read this. It was developed over time through group conscience and experience. And I'm an article junkie. There was another article that compares the group to an individual AA member taking personal inventory. Like, as an alcoholic, I have to take a daily inventory, recognize my mistakes, you know, go to God and become willing to have them removed. Like, similar to the group. And I'll read this. It says, we believe that every AA group has a conscience. It is the collective conscience of its membership. Daily experience informs and instructs the conscience. The group begins to recognize its own defects of character, and one by one, these are removed and lessened. As this process continues, the group becomes better able to receive right direction for its own affairs. Trial and error produces experience, and out of corrected experience comes custom. When a customary way of doing this is definitely proved to be the best, then that custom forms into an AA tradition, and the greater power is then working through a clear group conscience. You know, I've been going to that beginner's meeting for a long time, and over the last couple of years, the script has changed ever so slightly, incorporating, like, when cell phones were running rampant, like, going off, and, you know, we added the, please turn off your cell phones and pages, do not disrupt the meeting. Something to, like, why we need to identify ourselves as alcoholics when we go around the room, you know? Like, over time, these things were added, not for no reason at all, but for a particular reason. And, and just like me as an alcoholic, I have to clear away the wreckage that's within me and the garbage that's within me so I can have a direct contact with God, and it's quite similar to the group. And therefore, you know, AA is certain that there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. And, you know, like, I conform to these principles and these principles because, you know, one, because I may drink if I don't. And you know, I love this life and I don't want to drink. And two, because I really want to. You know, and this tradition talks about the ultimate authority, and there's another authority that, which is booze. And I love this quote, and I'll close with this. It says, "We have two authorities which are far more effective. One is benign and one is malign. There is God our Father, who is very simply says, 'I am waiting for you to do my will.' The other authority is John Barleycorn, and he says, 'You better do my God's will or I will kill you.' And sometimes he does. And, you know, I'm just another drunk trying to stay sober, and how I do it is by coming here and passing a message that's welcoming and safe, you know, and that's all I am. You know, my opinions don't mean anything. You know, my ideas are usually bad. you know, I'm just here to stay sober, and whatever that means, I do it, you know, and I love that line, you know, I listen and I obey. So thanks.